Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke. I'm not going to be real long tonight because I don't think my voice is going to do it, but we're going to go as long as I can. So if I can go 2 hours, well, I will be all right, all right? You know what I mean? But we'll go as long as my voice will tonight. But I'm not going to be real long. But I do feel there's some things that we need to look at tonight, and I want to bring that to you. I want to look at a burning in their hearts, a burning in their hearts. That's the title of tonight's message. And Luke chapter 24, I'm going to start reading at verse 32. It says, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found..." Whoops, let's go back to verse 32. "And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. I just pray now that we might get something out of this message. I just pray that you might take and speak to us tonight like you did this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What's that? I'm sorry. The title, A Burning in the, A Burning in Our Hearts. The title of tonight's message is A Burning in Our Hearts. The phrase, did not our heart burn within us? I want to take a look at that a little bit tonight. Many of you know the story of the two men that were in Jerusalem, and they're walking to the town of Emmaus after the Lord had risen from the dead. And the two of them are walking, and as they're walking, Jesus comes up alongside them and starts walking with them and talking with them. And they had no idea it was him. And but they listened intently to what he had to say. And they got to their house, asked him to come in. He did. They sat down to eat, and he gave thanks, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized who he was. And just like that, he was gone, disappeared out of their sight. And that's where the story picks up, where we are tonight. The phrase, did not our hearts burn within us? Our hearts should burn in us when the Word of God is revealed to us. Our hearts should yearn every day to have fellowship with the Lord. Why doesn't our hearts burn when we hear the Word of God read or preached? I believe there are some very important things that we need to understand tonight. Why we don't have the burning that we should in our hearts when we hear God's Word preached or when we read the Bible. The first thing is this. Man is blind. Man is blind. Man does not understand the basic Bible doctrines because he does not study the Word of God. After all, 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In order to have an understanding of the Bible and the Bible doctrines, and the things that God wants us to do, we need to what? Study God's Word. We need to get down, we need to read God's Word. But you know what? How many of us would rather sit in on our blessed assurances, flip through the channel with the remote? You know, I have yet to find a remote for my Bible. You know that? I have. I have looked every store. I've went on Amazon. I have went to Best Buy. I went all over. Walmart. Nobody has a remote control for my KJV Bible. Nobody. I looked all over for them. I thought if I could only find a remote control for it, it'd be easier to flip through the pages, right? But you know, we'd rather sit in our lazy boy with our feet up, remote control TV, flipping through the channels, than we would with God's Word in front of us. You know, we would a lot sooner take and engross ourselves by things that are flashing across the screen than we would with reading the words of God out of His book. You know, it takes time and effort to read, doesn't it? It takes time and it takes effort to read. You know, why do we have such an illiterate bunch of children today? Because mom and dad don't read anymore. Mom and dad don't read like they used to. You know, I was raised by my grandma for 3 years. We lived in North Dakota. And my grandma used to be an old school teacher. She was school teacher back when the Ready Reader or whatever that was, they used one book for reading. Anyway, that's what she taught out of. The other book she taught out of was the Bible. That's how many years back it was when she taught school. Now, my grandma did not have a television. We lived in North Dakota, out in the sticks. I mean, you know, we lived so far out in the country, they had to pipe in sunlight. That's how far out in the sticks we lived. And you know what? In the wintertime, there was no heat. I mean, it was just cold. But my grandma, I will never forget as long as I live. We would get up in the morning. The first thing she did is, says, okay, let's go to the kitchen table. We'd go to the kitchen table and we'd sit down and she'd open the Bible and she'd, okay, now you read it. And I sat there and I read out of the Bible. I was only 4 or 5 years old. And I sat there and read out of the Bible. I go, wow, you know, that's something. 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I was still with her. Now, what I want to get to is this. We had no television. We didn't even have a radio. We had a party line telephone. How many of you remember that one? And I think there was 15 people on our party line. Every time you picked up the phone, somebody was on it. Huh? Yeah. Well, you know, hey, got to realize we're in North Dakota. And, you know, they were still getting mail, Pony Express, I think, until the 2000s. You know what I mean? But, you know, parents no longer read to their children. You know, many do not fully understand. People don't understand what they are being read or what they read. And they don't understand the preaching that goes on behind the pulpit. Many feel it's a waste of time to go to church and listen to some preacher stand up here, yell, scream, holler, hit the pulpit. After all, what does he know? You know, all he is a person. All he ever preaches on is salvation and sin. Amen? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You know, this old preacher up here stands up here and he preaches, and many times I raise my voice, and many times I hit the pulpit, many times I get down, walk around, and whatever. But listen, I preach the Word of God. Why? Because it's a power. It's a power. It's a power to those who are saved. It's foolishness to those who aren't, but it's power to us who are. Third thing is this. There are not those who can explain the Word of God. Romans 10:14 says this, How then shall they call on him to whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Whoa. You know, the Bible says there's certain men who should be able to explain the Bible. You know who they are? Evangelists, preachers, teachers. They should be able to explain what is in the Bible. You know, I enjoy our nights with Tug, with the teenagers. Those kids can come up with some of the wildest questions you ever saw in your entire life. But you know what? I'm able to show them from God's Word what God says about different things. And they sit there and they suck it in just like a sponge. And that's what we need. We need people who can explain God's Word and show people how they can know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. In the area that we live in right now, there are hundreds of thousands who are moving into this area. I mean, they're coming in by the throngs. I don't know if you've been up to Anthem lately and seen all the new houses going up. You go up farther than that, you go up to Johnson Ranch, there's new houses going in up there. You go all the way from there, all the way up to Phoenix. The new houses, there's hundreds of thousands of people moving into this area on a daily basis. Right now, there is less than one independent Baptist church being started every 2 years. The Mormons start one a week. What's that? No, that's here. I'm talking here. Yeah. Yeah, they start a new ward one a week. Why do you think there's so many Mormon churches between here and Apache Junction if you go up the back roads? Hey. You know, we need to understand that if we would follow Jesus' teaching, we would see that all the while he was here on earth, he explained the scriptures to those who followed him. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that he was a great teacher? You know, what did he have to teach out of? Do you have the New Testament? Nope. What did he teach out of? The Old Testament. He taught everything out of the Old Testament. I mean, he would start in at Moses and he'd go all the way through the prophets. After all, that's what he did with these two on the way to Emmaus. He started at Moses and went all the way through the prophets. Listen, what we need to realize is this. We need people who can take the Bible and show people what they need to know out of God's Word. You know, I get the biggest kick out of some of these new translations that they have out. There's a man that I knew, he had come to church for a while, and we were talking about youth ministries and things like that, and he looked right at me and he says, "You can't use the King James Bible. Come on in. You can't use the King James Bible to take and have teenagers. You can't have the King James Bible. You can't use it. You cannot use the King James Bible. You can't do it. You just can't do it." I went and I looked at him and I said, "Well, what Bible do you think you need to use?" He says, "Well, the NIV. The NIV. I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, let me ask you something." I said, "You're telling me the teenagers cannot understand the King James Bible?" He goes, "No, they can't." I said, "Let me ask you a question. I'll be real frank. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What does that mean? He looked at me and said, "Well, everybody sinned." I said, "Exactly. I said, what part of that can't a teenager understand? He said, well, none. I said, okay, let's look at another one. For the wages of sin and death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said, what part of that can a teenager understand? He said, well, they can understand that. I said to him, I said, well, what about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is that about? Well, Jesus died for our sins. I said, yeah. I said, let me ask you a question. What teenager cannot understand that? He said, well, none. I said, what about whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? I said, what teenager cannot understand that? He says, well, they can all understand that. I said, then what more do you need? Amen? What more do you need? All you got to do is have enough to show them how to get saved. Man, I'll tell you what. I just kind of shook my head at him and I said, what's wrong with the King James Bible? He said, well, nothing. I said, that's my point. That's exactly what my point is. You know, hey, I'll tell you what, the old KJV is where it's supposed to be, amen? You know, what we need to realize is this. It's through the Holy Spirit that the deep things of God are taught to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What we need to understand is this. There's a lot of... You know what? I'm the pastor of this church. Do you know that I don't know everything in this book? I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I don't know everything in this book. Brother Echoes, do you? Brother, do you know everything in this book? Are you sure? You were supposed to preach tonight, weren't you? Oh, no. He was. Yeah. Weren't you? Oh. Oh. I saw you walk in. I have a missionary down, and I thought it was for 2 weeks from now. And I saw you walk in. I'm going, uh-oh. I better get my dates. Have you ever done that? I have. The older I get, sometimes that happens. But listen to me. I want to be honest. I do not know everything that's in this book. I don't. And I want you to know that. But you know what I do do? I do do this. I read this book every day. And I learn more and more and more. I've been the pastor of this church for 20 years. I've read through this book 30 times. 30 times. And you know what? I still don't know everything that's in here. Unbelievable. I'm a slow learner. Amen? Late Dr. Jack Hiles was preaching one day, and he got up, and he says, I want you to know something. He said, I read through my Bible every year. He said, I've read through the Bible over 100 times. Over 100 times. And he says, you know what? Every time I read through it, I find something I didn't see the last time. Listen, this Bible, believe it or not, changes every time we read it. You'll find something new every time. And it's through the Holy Spirit that happens. The very moment that we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in, and He's going to teach us all things that we need to know about what God is doing. You know, these two men, as they were walking on their way to Emmaus, were taught by a greater teacher than themselves. You know, we have some opportunity to learn the deep things of God if we will only listen to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. People don't go to church because they want to hear good preaching. That's why they stay away. You know, I had an evangelist call one day, And he says, my name is so-and-so, I'm an evangelist. And he said, I'd like to take and come and preach in your church. And I said to him, I said, can you skin me alive? He said, what? I said, can you skin me alive? He said, I don't know. Why? I said, if you can't, I don't want you. Because I said, when you get done, I want to be convicted of whatever I'm doing wrong that I need to get it right. Can you do that? He said, what are you doing wrong? I said, I have no idea. That's your job. He didn't come. But I had another guy come. I'll never forget him as long as I live. In fact, Tuck, he was so mad at him that Tuck wouldn't even mention his name for almost a year. Because Tuck got skinned alive. All of us did, man. I'll tell you what, this guy was really good. He was really good evangelist. But you know what? That's what it's all about, is getting your heart convicted of the things that you're doing wrong and getting right with God. You know, there's not one of us sitting in this room that has a pure life, including the preacher. And we need to get our lives right with God. You know, preachers need to stick to the real the real, and not the fantasized explanation of Scripture. They need to stick to real doctrine, which God has taught in the Word, and not what man has taught in their world system. You know, I receive probably 2 to 3 books a month from different places. Read my book and give me an idea what you think of it. They don't want me to, because usually I put on there, I'm sorry, I don't read people's books, and send back the note. One guy wanted to know if I'd send back the book, too. But I have many books in my library at home that, believe it or not, I've never opened. Never opened. People say, well, why don't you read what man has to say? I'd rather see what God has to say. Amen? I'd rather spend my time reading this than I would man's philosophies. I went and listened to another preacher preach one time, and he got up and he had a pile of books about this high, and he set them on the pulpit. And he started from the top, and he was going through every book with excerpts in these books, and that's what he was preaching off of. Afterwards, we went to the back of the church, and he shook my hand, and he goes, what'd you think of my message? I said, I didn't think anything of it at all. Boy, did I pop his bubble. He said, what do you mean? I said, I was waiting for you to get into God's Word, not man's Word. When are we going to start preaching to the people about what God said, not what man said? Oh, I'll tell you what. People get really mad at me sometimes. Really mad, because I won't look over their writings. I don't have time. You know, my day is filled completely. And I find time, though, every day to get into this book. Every day I find time to spend with the Lord. Why? Because we're commanded to do it. You know, we need to study out of text for ourselves. And there should be a burning in our heart when we read something that we say, I want to find out more about that. There's far too many preachers who subscribe to the Message of the Week Club. I know Brother Echoes, he'll amen this one. Do you know that there's over 1,000 websites right now that I can go on to any time, and I can get hundreds of thousands of messages already pre-written? Did you know that? There's an awful lot of preachers that do that. There's one website, they have over 25,000. Listen now. 25,000 hits every Friday and Saturday. 25,000 hits. That means there's 25,000 preachers that are going on that website to get their material for that Sunday morning. Shame on them. It takes time to take and write a message. It takes time to rely on the Holy Spirit to speak through you to what the people need. I feel sorry for those who listen to those preachers who don't write their own material. Teachers need to spend time studying the material before they ever give it to a Sunday school class. The fifth thing is this. Here we see the convicting evidence that Jesus was the Messiah, the risen Lord. He convinced them from the Old Testament. Luke chapter 24, verse 27 says, "And beginning at Moses, and all the prophets he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, that things concerning himself." Wow. Think about that for a minute. Here's Jesus talking to these two guys as they're walking down the road. One is on one side, the other one's on the other, and they're talking, and they're listening to every word he's saying. And he's going to the Old Testament, starting with Moses. And he goes all the way through the prophets, right up to where he was crucified. And he expounded everything about him in the Old Testament. Wow. Can you imagine that? I mean, here they're walking with the Lord, didn't have any idea who he was, and he's telling them all about himself from the Bible. Woo! That'd be something, wouldn't it? Man. You know, there's no chance for deception in this thing. None whatsoever. You know, no one else could have revealed the scripture the way he did. No one else could have known all the things that he taught them as they walked to Emmaus. No one else could have startled their hearts the way he did. No one else could have started the burning in their hearts like he did. No one else could have done it with the simplicity and with the tenderness that Jesus did. No one could have convicted their hearts but Jesus. You know, there's only one who could have touched the lives of these two, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, these two were with him for 3 years. They walked with him. They talked with him. They were with him all the time. You know, we as Christians need that burning in our hearts. When we hear the Word of God read and preached, Jesus will reveal himself to us through the preaching of the man of God. The Holy Spirit will reveal the teaching of the Word of God through the reading of the Word of God. It is through the preaching and the reading of the Word of God one comes to repentance. I want you to understand that. Because of the burning desire to know the Savior is what convicts the heart. It's through the burning of the hearts, the convicting power of God comes over us that we are sinners, that there's a penalty for our sin, that Jesus paid our penalty on the cross. And we need to accept him. It's because of the burning in our hearts that we need to have the desire to serve the Lord. You know, there's a lot of times when the fire kind of goes out a little bit, doesn't it? But we need to get that fire back. We need to get the burning back. You know, as soon as they had found the Savior, what'd they do? Oh, they went home and they went to bed, right? Now, think about this for a minute. It was late in the day when they left Jerusalem. They walked all the way to Emmaus. The sun was starting to set. They were going to sit down. They sat down and ate the evening meal. As soon as their eyes were open, what did they do? Luke chapter 24, chapter 24, verse 33 says this. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Listen, it's getting dark outside. They don't have flashlights. They don't have cars with headlights on. They had to follow the path back to Jerusalem. When a person finds the Lord, they want everybody to know it. They want everybody to know what they just found. The very instant when someone finds the Lord, they want to tell others immediately. This one that was saved this morning, we were in my office, and he says, I can hardly wait to go home and tell who? His sister. He says, I can hardly wait to go home to tell her what happened to me this morning in church. Whoa! Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to be excited? I told the story many times about when I got saved. The day I got saved, came home from daily vacation Bible school. I went into the produce department. I got myself an orange crate. And I went outside. I made some telephone calls. And I went in and I got all the folding chairs I could find in the house and had them outside. Had all the kitchen table or chairs out there too, arranged into a church out in my backyard. 8 years old. I got all my friends over. They came over with their bicycles and everything else. And they all sat down. I said, we have refreshments afterwards. My mom had made brownies. I said, we have refreshments afterwards. And we're sitting there. And I got up and I had no idea what to say. I got up there and I looked at him. I go, you're all going to hell. They all got up and left. I couldn't even believe it. I didn't know what to say. I knew I was going to hell before I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And I knew they were going to hell because they hadn't done it. My mom comes outside and she says, Dale, you and I, we got to have a talk. I said, why? She says, I've had 5 phone calls in the last 5 minutes. She says, you traumatized those poor kids. I said, Mom, I just tell them, trying to tell them what they need. They need Jesus in their heart like I have. Hey, I was excited, man. I was excited. Didn't go about the right way, but hey, I was excited. You know, we need to be excited when we're saved. We need to be excited when things happen in our lives. You know, we have the... I always think of the song, we have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the news to every land, cross the steeps and cross the waves. Something like that. Onward 'tis the Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You know, I'll tell you what, once we get saved, once we know for sure that we're a child of God, we should be excited about it. There's no better life to live than the Christian life. Amen? Amen? You know, when we have a burning in our heart, we need to spread the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere. I get excited when people come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I do. This morning, I'll tell you what, I was ecstatic. I was. I was jumping for joy and shouting hallelujah and everything else when one got saved. I mean, you know, let's face it. That's what we're here for. We're here to see people clenched out of Satan's grips. These two had a burning in their hearts because of what they had found, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the same burning in our hearts so we can have the desire to see as many as possible come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We need the burning in our hearts when we hear the message preached. We need the burning in our hearts when we open God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the deep things of God. We need the burning to serve the Lord in everything that we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." We need to do all we can for the honor and glory of the Lord. And if we do, I guarantee you're going to have that burning in your heart, that nothing can put it off. We need that burning in our heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, I just pray that we might get that burning in our heart. We need to have that burning. We need to have the desire to take it and look to you for our guidance. We need to have that burning to open your word and read your word. And Father, I just pray now that you would speak to the hearts of those who are here. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, preacher, I haven't had that burning desire in my heart to do what God has wanted me to do. I just haven't. Would you pray for me that I could get that burning back in my heart again? That I get that yearning to do whatever God would have me to do? If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you tonight. Yes, hands all over. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Yes. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. I can't remember a time or a place where I asked the Lord Jesus in my heart. Would you pray for me tonight? Or is anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone at all? Yes, I see those hands. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for those who are so honest. Father, I just pray now that you would guide and direct us. Help us to realize that we need to have that burning in our heart. The burning desire to tell others about you. The burning desire to read your word. The burning desire to serve you. Father, I just pray now that you would guide and direct. I pray for these that have raised their hand that they're not 100% sure that if they were to die, that they go to heaven. Father, help us to make sure they know tonight before they leave this building. And we'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, turn our hymnals, number 161.